Good afternoon. Today is Friday.
It certainly is.
December the 28th, 363rd day of the new year.
Joining us
this afternoon, simple country therapist, and it looks like outdoor trekker, Lou Quimby.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You got your pocket pants on and your windbreaker.
And my hat. Cap.
Yeah, it's not a cowboy hat.
It's no. Oh, mercy, no.
Well, not like there's anything wrong with cowboy hats.
Certainly not. I admire them greatly.
But your head is not a cowboy head.
No, it's not actually a cowboy head.
So now that we've solved that little mystery, we'll find out what the show's going to be about when we come back.
Oh, mercy.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to talk shop this fine Friday afternoon.
It is indeed.
But before we do, our quote this afternoon.
This quote is from an unknown person. Psychiatry is the care of the id by the odd.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, most of us understand that.
It may be funny or pathetic or a little bit of both.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. We've talked, Lou, over the years about New Year's resolutions and what is viable and what's practical and what's more puffery.
Yes, puffery. Good intentions.
Yeah.
Remember, for every will, there's an equal and opposite won't.
So how do you change a habit? I mean, if the habit is something you want to do, and your habit reference point is not to do, okay. Or if your habit is doing something, you want to stop doing it.
It depends on what the habit is. Some things you can quit cold, should or could. Some things require incremental diminution of the habit.
You're breaking into small stuff?
Yeah. If you want to quit smoking, you can either do it with a plan, which parcels it out over a couple of months, or if you want to quit drinking, you can do the same thing, or you can just quit smoking, period, walk away, and then have a plan for what to do with your impulses. Same thing with drinking. If you're going to quit drinking and want to quit cold, particularly if you're an alcoholic, then go to AA, which gives you a different kind of support. And most alcoholics don't like being in a position where they're out of control, asking other people for help, or being in a situation where help is offered as something that has value. Because a lot of alcoholics are independent, don't tell me what to do. So those are big habits. Little habits like chewing your nails. You can find something else to do. You can fool around with a pencil. Or...
As long as you don't stab yourself.
As long as you don't stab yourself. Do something to keep your hands busy besides picking your nails or chewing on your nails.
Now, a lot of those type of things, though, are they conscious or subconscious, little nervous things?
They're mostly subconscious and driven. And then they come to your attention when your cuticles bleed. Wait a minute, I'm doing it again. Oh, drat.
So how can your conscious with the subconscious?
Keep your hands away from your mouth.
Okay, you can put a sock on your hand.
Use a fork and a spoon. Don't eat with your fingers. Don't eat your fingers.
Yeah. You know, it's tough sometimes to go downhill when you start at the bottom.
Yeah.
I think we're proving that today.
Some people chew on their pencils. Some people chew on their...
Yeah, the end of the glasses.
Temples of their glasses, whatnot, right? It keeps their mouth parts busy and occupied. That's what I do.
Or chomping on gum or something.
You can chomp on gum.
But if it's subconscious, well, it's going to take an overt action to break the subconscious.
But you can see the behavior in front of your eyes.
If you're paying attention.
Well, no, when your cuticles bleed, that'll get your attention.
Well, yeah, okay.
Okay, so back that one up to your cuticles go from bleeding to red. Then they go from red to raw, and then you go, oh, gee, I haven't gotten bloody cuticles for some time. I'm getting better. Feel my nose. And so you make a conscious effort to keep your cuticles out of your teeth.
That's a symptom, though. How do you get to the cause of chomping?
Who cares?
Really?
Well, why would you worry about getting to the cause of every little neurotic twitch you have? You could spend...
Well, I didn't say everyone. I'm talking about cuticles at this point.
You could spend 3 days a week on the couch and not learn what the unconscious cause is. Or you could spend 3 days on the couch and go, after 6 months, oh, that's interesting. Who cares? As your cuticles begin to bleed. See, learning about the unconscious motivations is not the only or the primary fix for unpleasant habits.
So better to deal with the symptom than the cause?
Well, if you fix the symptom, very often, one of two things happens. Either it goes away and you're done, or because you don't have the symptomatic relief, the stuff begins to bubble up and you find out what the unconscious thing is. I want to bite my mother's head off, so I bite on my fingers instead. But that doesn't happen all that often. So mostly it's an unpleasant habit. It's not aesthetically pleasing to have bleeding cuticles.
Well, it could be, let's go the other way. Not a speck of dust in the house.
Oops. That's a problem.
So it's a neurotic, it's a habit, but it's positive that you get positive affirmation from others.
Well, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Sometimes people come in and look at the positive house, and they have to go sit in a chair with their hands and feet folded quietly because they're afraid of living in that house, right? There's no newspapers stacked up, or at least, you know, you don't have the newspaper on the couch or on the coffee table to read. Everything's all stacked up in its own way. Then there are people who put the newspaper back together after they go through all four or five sections. So they make the newspaper complete again, just like it was delivered. And that's a little on the compulsive side. So frequently people do compulsive behaviors to stay out of trouble. And the trouble they're staying out of routinely goes back to some childhood difficulty of some sort. Now, the interesting thing about that is a lot of the difficulties that we generate for ourselves are made by decisions that we've made in childhood. Now, the interesting part about that is the decisions that kids make in childhood are not always known to anybody except themselves. They don't tell their parents. They don't tell their friends or their siblings. And then when they get older, they've forgotten about it themselves.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. 5 years ago, Mark and Lori Sanchez hit upon an idea. Gift baskets of Humboldt-made food products that folks could send to family and friends here or in distant places. They coined the name Humboldtious for their collection, and their company, Bella Baskets, took off. Today they have regular customers in all 50 states and 14 countries. One man in Point Barrow, Alaska, regularly orders a meat sauce. A film company in Ontario, Canada, orders barbecue sauce for its catering department. This Christmas season, Mark and Lori expect to sell 700 Bella Baskets. Their taste treats include such things as canned albacore, honey, barbecue sauces, hot sauces, jams, pralined almonds, coffee, and chocolate, all Humboldt County products. Based in Old Town, their business continues to grow, and, just as important, it's bringing outside money into our economy. Their website is bella-basket.com. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and activities that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of habit changing is one thing. How about habit forming? Is it...
Well, a lot of that happens in childhood as well, in terms of what kids are exposed to and what they're required to do. Discipline is a... interesting example that's acquired, and some kids make the decision to go along with it because going along with it is less problematic than fighting it. So there's lots of things that people form in childhood. If they're anxious about performance, that is to say making somebody else happy besides learning themselves, then they might get compulsive about their discipline habits, like mechanically laying out all their books and papers and pen and pencil and getting all squared away when they're going to start studying. and then get all that done. And if you interrupt them, it ruins their train of thought, so they're not flexible that way.
So pounds of preparation?
Yeah. So people that are obsessive about preparation to do problem solving, it's problematic if they're in the executive positions, because executives get interrupted all the time. And you have to be able to be flexible and multitask. But if you can get away with being obsessive about that if you're an accountant, for example, because most of the time accountancy involves being handed something to deal with, and then you go away and you crunch the numbers and do the paperwork and get that all done, and that's often done alone. And when you finish that, maybe somebody else checks your work, but
nothing's on fire when you're doing
it. Yeah, yeah, right. If you're a brain surgeon, you have to learn to work with other people. That's important. But you still have to be compulsive enough and obsessive enough to do the studying to become a brain surgeon. That requires that one. So there are brain surgeons with and without human skills. The same thing with heart surgeons and thoracic surgeons and all like that. So the obsessive compulsive skills learned in childhood allow kids to learn, study hard, retain information, and they have to soften that some with their people skills. So they're frequently separate issues. And when kids make decisions about those kinds of things, like being obsessive or compulsive because they're afraid they'll make a mistake, mom or dad won't approve or like them, they frequently do not broadcast those decisions. They wouldn't say to their mom or dad, okay, I'm going to do this the best I can because if I don't, I know you won't love me. I've never known a kid to say that. There may be kids that said that, but I haven't known a kid to say that. So these decisions that people make that run their lives are often forgotten by them. And sometimes in therapy they remember. And sometimes all they have to do is loosen up, learn to multitask, lighten up a bit on how they schedule things, and that problem is solved. They don't have to go down 12 layers into the onion to sort that out.
For those who have two speeds.
Off and on.
Off on, 0, 100, yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
How do they learn, I don't know if temperance is the proper phrase, but let's say...
Flexibility?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do they learn? Some people don't. Some people get into occupations where they can ride roughshod and do everything their way. independent practitioners can do that. And then some people learn by slowly being ground down by life and living, and they realize that being rigid isn't working well. Some people have to be confronted with near failure. It's like alcoholics reaching bottom. Now, the bottom is different for different people. You don't have to lose your partner and your house and your car and your kids and your money. You don't have to lose that to hit bottom for some people. Sometimes hitting bottom is nobody returning your calls for a period of time, and that may get people's attention. So it's different for different people, and hitting bottom isn't always super traumatic in terms of friends, family, income, house, car, kids. But there's an emotional bottom where people all of a sudden realize that what they're doing just isn't working well.
Bottom almost sounds like fatigue.
It is tiring.
Tired of it.
AA has an expression, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And they get exhausted doing the same thing over and over again with no different results. So they have to do something different. Sometimes they discover that themselves. Other times people tell them. They go, no, I don't think so. That's not my style. And then 5 years later, what was that you said?
So recall is there. It just may be delayed.
Yeah, it may be delayed, yeah.
Different circumstances certainly would increase one's sensitivity to some of that input.
Yeah, yeah. You can be in an occupation for a long time before realizing that you've run out of room and time and things have to change. If you're lucky, you can learn to listen to other people That always helps. Learning things the easy way instead of the hard way. The easy way is discussion. Tell me more. What do you think? Why is that important? Should that be important to me? Yes. Yeah. Why? And then you explain why.
Because most of, and the hard way is losing body parts and blood in the front.
Yeah, that's right.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
Santa's been to Palco Pharmacy with a full bag overflowing with great ideas. For Christmas season entertaining, you'll find seasonal dishes and glassware for a wonderful festive event. There's some dancing mice and fun figurines that seem to have captured the essence of Christmas joy and fun. And don't forget those very special Christmas cards for loved ones and family members. Those are also available for you. Santa's been there, and now it's your turn to go to Palco Pharmacy in the Scotia Shopping Center, your center for pharmacy and gift ideas this Christmas.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Simple Country therapist Lou Quimby. Lou, this time of the year, it's traditional for gatherings, whether they're sport-related or just social events.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Eve, you bet.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. And it seems... Yeah, I'm one that celebrates New Year's on East Coast time.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah.
And then go to bed.
Yeah. I'm right. Really out there leading the charge hard.
Right, 9 o'clock. Look at that. The ball's coming down. I'm out of here.
That New Year's weekend tends to be one of those periods of the year when people permission themselves.
That's correct.
To get faced.
Hammered.
Labor Day. Blottoed. Memorial Day. Right. Maybe 4th of July. Possibly their birthday. I don't see too much of it happening at Easter.
No.
Or anniversary, wedding anniversaries and things like that.
Probably not wedding anniversaries. So
what is magical for some people about this time of the year?
Well, there's a couple of things. Anticipation is one and letdown is another. When anticipation doesn't bear fruit, as it were. Another one is that people build up stress and hold it during the day, the week, the month. And then comes an opportunity to dump the stress. Drugs, alcohol, sex, money, days off, who knows. Some people dump their stress by going for a hike in the Yolobolis or the Trinities or whatever. But other people often use party behavior, like alcohol, to relieve their stress. But they don't relieve their stress when it's building. During the day, during the week, during the month. So if you look at the holidays, they're spaced out enough where people can dump their stress during the holidays, then they build it up again. And then some people, of course, don't need an excuse. Look, a leaf is falling. I'll drink to that.
The overachievers, yes.
So they develop their own opportunities to relieve their stress, which can become a habit. Which means that they're sucking it up for days or weeks, and then they dump it often all at once. You know, the typical lampshade on the head at a party stuff.
The over the top, yeah.
Over the top, yeah. Or they get
not that I can recall. I don't believe I've ever participated to that level.
I'd never known you to do that.
Talk to folks and they get it. But for me, I don't get it. What is the relief about getting drunk? Where do they get that
there's
payoff?
Five ways that people are affected: physically, emotionally, intellectually, socially, and spiritually. And if you've got a really big emotional buildup of stress you haven't talked about, then that stress can bleed out physically, getting drunk, intellectually by saying things you wouldn't otherwise say because your tongue has been loosened. And socially, you put yourself in a situation where you can embarrass yourself or embarrass others or say things that you shouldn't say or you'd like to say but you shouldn't say. So have you heard the expression from AA, the man takes a drink, the drink takes a drink, the drink takes the man?
Okay, I can follow
so
it.
So you have a couple of drinks and there goes your inhibitions. There goes your good sense to keep your mouth shut about some things.
But if you're going to say something, wouldn't you want to have your faculties as dialed in So that not only did you use the right words, but you had timing and you might be able to avoid the altercation or...
Yeah, I know, but you're talking to a rational person here. And you're acting rational about this. When you drink, rationality gets lifted so that people are emotional and say things that they regret later, but they have some truth.
And they still wanted to say those things.
Oh, yeah, in the moment. But, you know, the veneer of civilization is thin, and alcohol is one of the things that takes it away very quickly. So people that have trouble with impulse control should not be imbibing in circumstances that they may later regret. So back that one up, and then you have to look at the value system. What are they doing and saying when they're drunk that gets them into trouble? And how can they back that up and take care of themselves when they're sober? So they frequently learn how to say some things diplomatically when they're sober rather than blurting them out when they're hammered.
Or perhaps more diplomatically.
Or if you want to be more diplomatic when you're hammered, that's extra credit work. That's definitely extra credit work.
KINS, News and Information Times 341. We'll see if we can polish up the apple on the desk and get that extra credit when we come back.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 344. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Am I boring you, sir?
Absolutely.
Good, as long as we're cutting through all the fog and we're clear.
As long as we're on the same page, yes.
New Year's resolutions, New Year's Day, all that kind of stuff. If people are looking to change their habits.
Well, there's more anticipation and disappointment.
Okay.
People often throw huge amounts of emotional anticipation and wonderment into, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to get married. I'm going to change jobs. I'm going to move to the East Coast. Well, you start making huge, multiple decisions like that, you increase the stress on your life astronomically, right? There's a stress chart about that. However, if you're going to change things with New Year's resolutions, I'll say it again, I said it last year, you've got to have a plan on how to make it happen.
How about incremental changes?
Incremental changes.
Rather than...
For example, if you want to lose weight, losing weight is not about a diet. Losing weight is about a lifestyle change.
Let's say 5 pounds instead of 50. Much more manageable, much more achievable.
Let's say you're a 250-pounder and you used to be 180. Okay. It took a long time to get there, so it's going to take a while getting back. But it doesn't have to take as long to get back as it did to get there. But there are lots of things that have to be changed. So snack foods, for example. If you talk to somebody who's used to mixed nuts and jerky and all kinds of intricate little snacky poos, right? A pint of Haagen-Dazs, for example.
That would be from the Haagen-Dazs tree.
That is a fruit, yes. So you have to find some substitutes for the snacky impulses. And there are plenty out there, but then you
have... Not smoking or drinking, however.
Then you have to stick to the plan. Lucy's been...
So that would be the preparation part, the plan
yeah.
B part.
Yeah. My wife's been working on me for a long time, and I've gotten to the point now where I really don't care for sugar much anymore. We got some peanut butter, and it had sugar added, and I could taste the sugar in the peanut butter. And it ruined the taste of the peanut butter for me. There's so much sugar in it. And if you look at the amount of sugar in everything, it's bizarre. So now, when I have an apple, the apple actually tastes sweet. Like oranges and apples.
Yeah, there's some that are almost too sweet, yeah.
Fruit actually tastes, yeah. So getting your taste buds retrained is also something else that goes along with the emotional and the intellectual training about what it's for. And then there's the issue about comfort eating. And if you eat for comfort, that means you're doing something because you're stress-driven. And if you don't know where the stress comes from, then you keep eating for the comfort. So it's useful if you're going to do a lose weight to have a lifestyle change that includes understanding where your stresses come from, then what to do besides eating.
More of an overall look at yourself.
Yeah, it's a big look. But if you say things like, I'm going to be nice to the kids, what does that mean?
That's what I would think is probably challenging is not having a definite, specific, quantifiable.
It has to be put into describable, videotapable behaviors. If you're going to change, it has to be put into videotapable behaviors. Then the behaviors, if they're going to work, have to have some understanding behind them. Like, if you're going to lose weight, why? Well, I want to look better. That's fine. But after you look better, and then what? I mean, so you don't look bad now. You're going to look better, so who cares? And then what? What are you going to do when you get down to 180? I don't know. Well, if you get there with all this eager anticipation and nothing happens when you make the magic 180, oops. Now what are you going to do?
Or what if the behavior is so dramatically counter to you that now you have to either change yourself or continue to keep doing that thing that you don't like to do?
Oh, dear. Now you got the reverse discipline problem. You get yourself trapped somehow. Being trapped is not good.
So how do you get out of the trap?
Well, fat people can eat ice cream, but not as much or as often as they used to. It's not like deprivation. A change in lifestyle about food is about looking at the issues of nutrition. And then occasionally you may fall into a little stress reduction by snack. Okay. Well, that's not a big negative. But it's useful to know what it is you're falling into.
Well, hopefully it has nothing to do with cuticles.
I hope not.
See, I brought that all the way around.
Yeah, you did.
As you're playing with your fingers.
As I'm playing with my finger.
Enjoy New Year's.
I'm going to go back to playing with the pencil
there
instead.
There you go. Don't hurt yourself. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.